go to room 9 and see if there's some glasses. Yeah, this one. So, first canto, chapter 2, text number, what is it, 6?
Six.
Savai Pumsa Paro Dharma.
Savai Pumsa Paro Dharma.
Savai Pumsa Paro Dharma.
Savai Pumsa Paro Dharma.
Yato Bhakti Arad Hoksaje.
Yato Bhakti Arad Hoksaje.
Yato Bhakti Arad Hoksaje.
Yato Bhakti Arad Hoksaje. Causeless.
Pratihata.
Unbroken.
Yaya.
By which?
Atma.
The self.
Supersedati.
Completely satisfied.
Translation of purport by His Divine Grace is Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The supreme occupation or dharma for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. Responsively, The supreme occupation.
The supreme occupation.
Dharma.
Dharma.
For all humanity.
For all humanity.
Is that by which?
Is that by which?
Men can attain.
Men can attain.
To loving devotional service.
To loving devotional service.
Unto the transcendent Lord.
Unto the transcendent Lord.
Such devotional service.
Such devotional service.
Must be unmotivated.
Must be unmotivated.
And uninterrupted.
Uninterrupted.
To completely satisfy the self.
To completely satisfy the self.
Report by Srila Prabhupada. In this statement, Suta Goswami answers the first questions of the sages of Namasharanya. The sages asked him to summarize the whole range of revealed scriptures and present the most essential part so that the fallen people, the general people, or the people in general might easily take it up. The Vedas prescribe two different types of occupation for the human being. One is called Pravritti Marg, or the path of sense enjoyment, and the other is called Nivritti Marg, or the path of renunciation. The path of enjoyment is inferior, and the path of sacrifice for the supreme cause is superior. The material existence of the living being is a diseased condition of actual life. Actual life is spiritual existence, or Brahma-Bhuta existence, where life is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. Material existence is temporary, illusory, and full of miseries. There is no happiness at all. There is just a futile attempt to get rid of the miseries, and temporary cessation of misery is falsely called happiness. Therefore, the path of progressive material enjoyment, which is temporary, miserable, and illusory, is inferior. But devotional service to the Supreme Lord, which leads one to eternal, blissful, and all-cognizant life, is called the superior quality of occupation. This is sometimes polluted when mixed with inferior qualities. For example, adoption of devotional service for material gain is certainly an obstruction to the progressive path of renunciation. Renunciation or abnegation for ultimate good is certainly a better occupation than enjoyment in the diseased condition of life. Such enjoyment only aggravates the symptoms of the disease and increases its duration. Therefore, devotional service to the Lord must be pure in quality, i.e., without the least desire for material enjoyment. One should therefore accept the superior quality of occupation in the form of devotional service to the Lord without any tinge of unnecessary desire, fruitive action, and philosophical speculation. This alone can lead one to perpetual solace in his service. We have purposely denoted Dharma as occupation because the root of the word Dharma is that which it sustains one's existence. A living being's sustenance or existence is to coordinate his activities with his eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord, Krishna. Krishna is the central pivot of living beings, and he is the all-attractive living entity or eternal form amongst all other living beings or eternal forms. Each and every living being has his eternal form in the spiritual existence, and Krishna is the eternal attraction for all of them. Krishna is the complete whole, and everything else is his part and parcel. The relationship is one of the servant and the served. In the transcendental, it is transcendental and is completely distinct from our experience in material existence. This relationship of servant and the served is the most congenial form of intimacy. One can realize it as devotional service progresses. Everyone should engage himself in that transcendental loving service of the Lord, even in the present conditional state of material existence. That will gradually give one the clue to actual life and please him to complete satisfaction. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om jnana timirandasya janagana salakaya chakshus militam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya madhavistam shapitam jena bhutale svayam rupa karamaya dadati svaparantikam shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda Shri Adaita Gadadha, Shri Vasari, Gaurava Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here we see Srila Prabhupada is offering us the highest thing. He's encouraging us. He's inspiring us. He's exhorting us to come to that stage. At the same time, he's ready to accept service from any position. This is also Krishna's verdict in the Bhagavad Gita in the 12th chapter. He says, you should just love me. But if you can't do that, then practice bhakti yoga where you'll come to the point you can love me. And if you can't do that, then you can work for me, and so on. So we're not fanatical. Krishna's not fanatical. Srila Prabhupada is not fanatical. At the same time, they're not compromising. If you want to fully satisfy yourself, then you have to come to this highest standard of pure devotion. Someone did a survey throughout all of Prabhupada's lectures and books and everything, and they found the one verse that he quoted the most. And that this verse is, he's also paraphrasing here in the purport. Anyabhilasitat sunyam jnana karmat anarvitam anukulyena krishnano siranam bhakti uttama. This is from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami, 1.1.11. He says, one should render chanted the loving service of the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. So Srila Prabhupada was always trying to heave us up to the spiritual platform, to the transcendental platform. And Krishna is doing like that also. But of course, we're resisting. You know, the image is there, right? We're holding on like the monkey. They have a trap for the monkey. They put their hand in and they grab a fruit and they make a fist, of course, to get the fruit. And then they can't get their hand out. And they're trapped because they won't let go of the fruit. So that's our position. We're so attached to the material things that even Krishna is inviting us. Come. He's playing the flute. Srila Prabhupada inviting us. Give up all your aspirations for material enjoyment. But we're still holding on. Maybe there's something here that's worthwhile. Something that we can relish on the material side. But Prabhupada is very heavy on that point, right? There's no happiness. We can hardly say like that when we're preaching to the students and so on. If we preach like that, they'll say, wow, these people are fanatics. Or he must be frustrated old man. He can't enjoy, but we're enjoying it. We can't really give it exactly the way Prabhupada is giving here. No happiness, he says. Of course, amongst devotees, we can do like that, but we have to be a little tactful sometimes. But this is the real relief, because unless we see it like that, unless we are convinced that there's no happiness on this side, then we're going to be suffering. We're still going to be suffering with us. We can't avoid it. Let me just quote another verse in purport, Prabhupada, from the Bhagavad Gita 7.16, where Krishna describes the four class of people who come to him. The inquisitive, those who are searching for the absolute truth, those who are distressed, those who are in want of money. So these four come, and in the purport to that verse, Prabhupada mentions, on the whole, when the distressed, the inquisitive, the seekers of knowledge, and those who are in need of money are free from all material desires, and when they fully understand that material remuneration, this is a very succinct point here. When they fully understand that material remuneration has nothing to do with spiritual improvement, they become pure devotees. As long as such a purified stage is not attained, devotees in transcendental service of the Lord are tainted. So he's talking about us. Devotees in transcendental service. We're in the transcendental service, but we're still tainted because we're searching for some mundane knowledge or some fruit for our work, very deeply rooted. So again, Prabhupada is trying to bring us to the point of pure devotion. So what is the difficulty? why we're not coming to the stage of pure devotion. Of course, we mentioned the attachment is there. But even, you can say even more subtle, is the desire to be a great devotee. Because Prabhupada says where we can desire on the spiritual side. It's not that we give up desiring. Desire is a symptom of the life, of the soul, symptom of life. So we should desire, but that desire has to be in relationship with Krishna, what's pleasing to Krishna. So that's the problem. Because since time immemorial, we've been doing our desire is what we want. It's natural. It comes naturally. We see it in the children, right? They don't have to be trained up to do what they want to do. Right? They do what they want to do. Even if it causes disturbance, they still do it. So this is natural. We're not ridiculing children. We're the same way, only we're a little more sophisticated about it. The children are not. That's why the nice quality of the child. The quality is that they're guileless. They're innocent. We're all attracted to that quality. Because they don't have a hidden agenda. They're just open about it. Of course, when they get a little older, then they become a little tricky. But we see them, especially 1 or 2 years old, right? They're just so innocent. It's refreshing. But of course, they're also self-serving. So we're that child, only grown up. But we still have that self-serving mood. And when we come to devotional service, we can bring it. Oh, I want to be the best devotee. Bhakti Siddhanta said we should give up the foolish desire to be the best devotee, and we should try to be the opposite, the good devotee. Opposite. Sometimes Bhakti Siddhanta used to turn off the microphone. He'd be up in his room or something, hear the kirtan. He said, go down and shut off the microphone. Because you can get, even in the kirtan, you can become a movie star. If we're not careful. Isn't it? We have to be very careful to do everything for pleasure of the Lord. Kirtan is meant to please the Lord. Of course, even if we come with that movie star mentality, if we go on chanting, gradually we'll come to the stage of pure chanting. So we're not discouraging anybody from chanting. This is the greatest angam. There's 9 angams. Shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smara, pada, sevanam. So this kirtan is the strongest. We encourage kirtan. Kirtan is the quickest way to get a highest taste. But still, we have to chant purely. And actually, the nice thing about kirtan, unless we're in a humble state, we won't be able to chant. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya says that we have to keep that humble state. Then we can go on. Kirtanaya sadahari. We can go on chanting if we keep ourselves in a humble state. So the chanting will make us humble. So it's all auspicious. There's nothing inauspicious. Even if our motive is not completely pure, but if we go on doing the devotional activity, it'll become pure. This is the wonderful feature of devotional service, these 9 processes of devotion. Sometimes the example is given of the fruit, without any seed or any skin, just a pure fruit. So devotional service is like that. Some just relishable. There's nothing inauspicious. Even if we close our eyes and run, there won't be any obstacle. There's nothing can check us. If that is our goal, that we actually do want to please Krishna. So that we have to review. In other words, we can deviate. The example is given there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita of cleaning the Gunjita temple, how the Lord cleansed the temple so thoroughly, 2 or 3, 4 times even, bringing more water. And he was comparing the little pieces of sand or pieces of straw to the dirty things in our heart. So the temple is like the heart. And he was cleaning, showing us how to clean the temple. So how to clean the heart. And there in the purport, Prabhupada was mentioning some of the obstacles or some of the obstacles are things that have to be removed from the heart. And one of them, of course, is pratishta. We want to be great devotee. Or kamani, we want to become very charming. Because it's true, we will. As we progress in devotional service, because we're learning how to love. And the whole world is eager for love. It's a fact. Everyone is suffering because they don't know who to love, where to give it, and how it, and then it won't be reciprocated properly unless they know. So when we get a little advanced, then we'll see, well, people start loving us. And therefore, there's a danger. If we take that, they love me, instead of seeing that we're just representing Krishna, then there's big obstacles can come. And those are compared to the weeds that are growing along with the Bhakti Lata Beach. The Bhakti Lata Beach is the pure creeper of devotion, and these weed-like are coming. They look just like the Bhakti Lata Beach. What's wrong with being famous? The devotee. I remember speaking to a devotee. He was going to become a musician 25, 30 years ago. And I was saying, you know, I don't know if this is the right thing to do. You're going to, you know. And then he became disturbed. Well, what's wrong? I want to be famous. For Krishna, of course. We never saw him again after. So there's a razor's edge. How to do it for Krishna, or how to do it for your own aggrandizement. And that is a good thing about association. We can, you can say, enliven each other and be straightforward with each other. Nobody's more straightforward than the devotees. At least they should be. Bhaktisiddhanta says, those who flatter me are my enemy. So we don't need to flatter each other, but we should love each other. If we love each other, then we can correct each other in such a way that we'll benefit. We'll benefit from our association. So it's not just an association of self-congratulatory, you know, patting each other on the back and saying, oh, you're wonderful, you're wonderful. No, everyone is wonderful, but we have to be realize that. So now we're coming from the material side. We're coming to Krishna consciousness for one of these four reasons. And Prabhupada says, unless we can give up all these material desires, we won't come to the point of pure devotion. So this is what will fully satisfy the self, and not only fully satisfy the self, but it will fully satisfy Krishna. So when Krishna is fully satisfied, then our life is successful. Just like we were hearing, Garuda Prabhu was talking yesterday. We're going deeply into one section of the Gita there, where, I think it was the 15th chapter. Is Garuda here? No. Anyway, I forget the exact verse, but the point was that that Krishna really loves Arjuna. Krishna really loves Arjuna. So Krishna loves us too. But why he doesn't love us as much as he loves Arjuna? Because Arjuna is surrendered fully. So what's checking us from being surrendered? Because look what Krishna did for the Pandavas. And Arjuna was the favorite Pandava. So he, because of the Pandavas, he arranged the whole battle of Kurukshetra, including Draupadi. So the Pandavas, including Draupadi, were very dear to the Lord. Krishna tells Arjuna that. He said, because you're my dearmost friend, therefore I'm giving you the most confidential knowledge, the most secret of all secrets. And what is that? That you should become my devotee. That you should just do everything for my pleasure. Don't think that I'm going to exploit you in any way. So this is what we have to encourage each other. We have to enliven each other. Tushyanticha, Ramanticha. We can become pure devotees. It's not like the Christians have idea. Only Christ is a pure devotee. We have to go on sinning. No, we can become pure devotees. Each and every one of us. That's what Prabhupada wanted. That's what Christ wanted also, but they've changed it. He said you should become perfect like me. But then they say, oh no, nobody can be perfect. Just go on sinning. But if you accept Christ, it's all right. But what kind of philosophy is that? You have to give up sinning. How to give up sinning? Because it's deeply rooted. This desire for the fruit of our work is very deeply rooted. I've earned it. It's mine. I have a right. And sex life, very deeply rooted. How to get these things out of the core of our heart so we don't see them even unconsciously, even in dream. Nirapeksha, the pure devotee, he doesn't have these, he's not haunted by these things even in dream. So it's attainable though. Don't be discouraged and think, oh well, listen, only Prabhupada can be pure devotee. No. We can do it. And the system is very clearly given. Here it is. Bhakti yoga. Practice this just like we're doing today. So all of you are taking it up, and I'm inspired to have your association. It's true, by association we enliven each other, and our faith develops, and therefore we should have more of these inspirational festivals. But if it's not possible every day, at least associate with the devotees as much as you can. Understand that it's very valuable association. Don't neglect the opportunity. What time is it?
8:42.
We have time still. So she said not to ask questions, but I'm going to ask questions because the question is how it should be relating to what we're talking about. In other words, Mother Malati's point, I think, is she here? Was that we shouldn't get deviated some political thing, or what about, you know, something's going on somewhere. These things come up. It's like on the Ganga, there's sometimes bubbles and foam or something. But still the Ganga is pure. ISKCON is pure. So no use dwelling on the foam and things like that. Those things will come and go. But as long as we keep even one person keeps the desire, like Prabhupada showed. He was one person who kept the desire to please his spiritual master as his life, his soul. And so the movement went on. Parampara is going on. So I see so many people are serious to please Srila Prabhupada. So naturally, we're going to keep this movement pure. That's the only qualification. Let's work for Prabhupada's pleasure. We don't even have to go to Krishna because Prabhupada is the pure representative of Krishna. If we please him, we can know, fully convinced, that Krishna is also pleased. So, what is the difficulty? Alright, any questions? Yes?
Prabhupada was talking about the path of Parvati Marg and Liberty Marg.
Yeah.
And how would that apply to us? Sometimes people say that the Parvati Marg path is the Grihastha path and Liberty is the Sannyasa.
No. The Grihastha also is Nirvritti Marg. His question was, Prabhupada mentioned in the purport about Pravritti Marg and Nirvritti Marg. Sometimes people say that the householders are Pravritti Marg. They have some, and enjoying. And the sannyasis are Nirvritti Marg. But actually, everyone who follows Rupa Goswami is in the Nirvritti Marg. Yukta Vairagya. We don't say that there's no pleasure, but then you have the trouble. The pleasure is there, but you have the trouble. Of course, it's a trouble of love, but it's still trouble. You can't deny it. So Grihastha means for having children. So there's some pleasure. Sannyasis don't have that pleasure. So it may look, but it's not Pravritti Marg, because so many rules and regulations are there, sex life, after chanting 15 rounds, and so on. It's not. Like Hari Griva Prabhupada was explaining, Grihastha sex life, once a month, something like that, and Hari Griva said, gee, we might as well just give it up. Altogether. And Prabhupada said, yes. Why not? No, if you want to have that pleasure, but then you have to take the responsibility. Otherwise, it becomes half a chicken philosophy. Right? The farmer has a chicken. He just keeps the side that gives the egg and he cuts the other side off because it costs them money for the grain. If we think we can just enjoy sex life and not be responsible, it won't be possible. So the Grihastashram is also Nivritti Marg, if we do it properly. Even we can have dozens of children. Bhaktivinoda had so many children, but he was Nivritti Marg. Anyone else?
Maharaj, you were speaking about how a devotee aspiring to further himself in progressing in spiritual life just needs to keep chanting, keep performing his service, and ultimately he will attain the desired success. Can you speak a little bit more about the attitude of what's necessary to quickly achieve that?
Yeah, too quick. Everybody heard the question? He's saying, we were speaking about the, if we just keep on with the process, then we're going to attain success. We will become lovers of God if we go on with our chanting and so on. So his question was, how can we expedite that, make it quicker? So that, of course, depends on our desire. If we feel the urgency of it, but if we're a little complacent, we think anyway, now I have a nice wife and my children and money's coming, so I don't have to get up that early. Then we're going to go, we'll still make progress, but it'll be a little slower, that's all. So we have to feel the urgency that if I don't take to Krishna consciousness, I'm missing the greatest opportunity. I don't want to. That's why Prabhupada is giving such heavy sauce here about the material life. No happiness. So he's trying to bring us to the point of realizing the urgency of it. We can die at any moment. We should become more serious. So then if we're more serious about it, then Krishna will reciprocate. As you surrender unto me, I reciprocate accordingly. Krishna promises. So, if we make a vow from today, I'm going to just do everything for Krishna's pleasure. I'm going to give up my so-called self-interest, my advantage here that I think I can squeeze out. I'm just going to honestly, from the core of my heart, try to do what I think would be pleasing to Krishna, Krishna's representative, Srila Prabhupada, from today. Then, they'll be obliged to reciprocate. Krishna is controlled by love. That's what he tells Arjuna. But don't you understand, Arjuna? I love you. He loves the Pandavas. That's why he got so upset with Duryodhana, because Duryodhana hates the Pandavas. Or read it, you know, he didn't. He's envious of them. That's all right? Anyone? Someone? Mataji?
And this person is talking about sacrifice and also about renunciation and about not giving up the path of sense enjoyment. Sometimes it occurs that we equate those things with suffering. So sometimes we take on devotional service like we should suffer in order to attain the bliss.
But what's the suffering? We chant, we dance, we talk nice philosophy, and we take sumptuous prasad. I don't see any suffering there. Last night I shouldn't, of course, eat in the evening, but somebody brought me a nice pizza and then a cheesecake. I was thinking, why? Wow, this is like heaven, heavenly planets, right? So it's not so austere. I mean, some austerity, but the Prabhupada used to say that's like giving up the poison. We think it's austerity to give up illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, gambling, but these things are poison. So for the addict, giving up the drug may appear like poison, but we can see from our perspective that he's just killing himself with this poisonous drug. So these things are poison. So it may look like austerity, real difficult, but it's not so difficult. It very quickly becomes joyfully performed. Our Sasuru Maharaj is here. I always remember the one story he told about how he was doing typing for Prabhupada, and he was bringing the typing. Maybe Maharaj can correct me if I don't say it exactly correct, but he was bringing the typing to Srila Prabhupada, and then I guess maybe the mood was a little mechanical, and Prabhupada stopped it, and he said, you should understand that this is done out of love. You're typing out of love, and I'm receiving out of love. And out of love, then I'm giving you back, and you'll be satisfied. And it's true. When Prabhupada loved us, when he showed that he appreciated us, everyone felt very satisfied in the heart. I'm sure Satsarupa Maharaj felt very enlivened by that Prabhupada extending himself like that. Whenever Prabhupada extended himself, nobody could. Even a stone-hearted person like me had to be moved by his affection. So it's done out of love, and therefore it's not austere. Yes. Did I repeat that right, Mom?
You're talking about, that give up the gross sinful activities, but then once you've given up those sinful activities, or at least made a sincere effort to do so, sometimes there's the subtle desires, and those aren't always met. And if a person's working very hard doing service and they don't feel like some sort of maybe gratification or reciprocation on more subtle levels, I think that's maybe, I'm not sure if that's what this lady's talking about, that, sometimes devotees are working so hard, but they're not feeling bliss, and so things are very, it's not just a matter of eating or, there's like psychological things.
No, but we can get satisfaction out of our service then. It should, even the sweeper, the karmi sweeper, he feels satisfied. Okay, I cleaned the road. He's sweeping them. So we're doing something practical. We're dressing the deity, and then we can appreciate. Oh, the deity looks so nice. Everybody can appreciate, right? Such a nice process that everybody will appreciate. So if we're doing our service, something that will be pleasing to the Srila Prabhupada to push on his movement, then we should get satisfaction just from that, from the service itself. If we're doing it sincerely, why not? Yes, sir.
My understanding, Krishna consciousness, where should one draw a line when it comes to dealing with the opposite sex?
Well, it should be. Of course, Grihatha Ashram, there's some license for association.
Maybe you should repeat the question.
Oh, the question was, where do we draw the line in dealing with the opposite sex? It is a subtle point, because there was a movement in 1976, some of this leading sannyasis, they wanted to banish all the women to Australia or send them all to the farms and keep the temples only for brahmacharis because they were causing the brahmacharis to fall down, or so it was thought. So this was a serious thing, and Prabhupada took it very seriously, and he even cried over this subject. So it's not just a joke. He said, "You have not understood." So the understanding is that everyone has a right to serve Krishna. We want to engage everyone in Krishna's service. At the same time, if we go a little beyond, that's called kamani. That's described as one of the weeds that grows along with the Bhakti Lata beach. Then there can be havoc, we've seen. Right? So that requires our sincerity. If we are really sincere, then Krishna will help us to become circumspect and not to deal loosely only in the matters that are pertaining to Krishna's service. So that everyone has to stand that test. It's nothing mechanical there. We have to, of course, ultimately become more attracted to Krishna than we are to the opposite sex. the mustaches, and Prabhupada mentions one place in the Krishna book, right? That a woman is attracted to a man with mustaches and hair under his arms and body odors. I think it was dealing with Rukmini. Balaram was speaking. So, why not be attracted to Krishna? He doesn't have these. The smelly body. And the man is attracted to the raised breasts of the woman. But after a few years, there's no longer beauty there. The nice story of liquid beauty, you know, we know the story how. Everybody knows the story, liquid beauty, I guess. Well, the purport is that the beauty is, material beauty is temporary. So why not go for something eternal? We're eternal, and we won't be satisfied with something that's temporary. How can it satisfy it? We're going to remain, but that thing that we're attracted to won't remain. So that's called sense object. If we're attracted to Krishna, however, and Krishna's representative, like Srila Prabhupada, then our relationship goes deeper and deeper. Now we haven't seen Srila Prabhupada physically in so many years. What is it, 30? My gosh, 30 years. Is it 30 years? But still, we feel the relationship is very real, very live. Even closer. We feel closer. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai. Srila Bhagavatam ki.
Jai.
Hare Krishna.
It's 29 and a half.